Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8 as we go through the book of Matthew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So if you've been with us in the book of Matthew, chapters 5, Jesus speaks about the condition of the believer's heart. Now what happens to the believer once the Holy Spirit enters? What does our heart look like? He speaks of humility, grace, righteousness. In chapters 6 and 7, he then looks at what does our life look like? What are we doing on the outside? Are we serving God to be seen by men? And he says, if that's the case, that's your reward. That little clap that you get, oh, you're so good, there you go. But if we're serving the Lord, which we should be, right, that our gifts are eternal, where moths don't eat away and rust do not destroy and thieves don't come in and steal. Now, it's interesting. Jesus is going to speak through, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking through these chapters. He'll talk about the Heavenly Father. The nation of Israel didn't see God as their father, but the father of the nation. It was an unapproachable God, had no access to him except through the priestly system. And now, Jesus is saying, he's your father, your heavenly father. You have a heavenly father that loves you and cares for you. Yet while you were sinning, he sent his son. And I hope that's refreshing to each one of us, because some of us think that we're the only ones dealing with a situation. And yet the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, right? Oh, if you only knew my situation. Nah, other people have had it. You ever hear somebody's testimony? Oh, I was the worst this, I was the worst. Nah, you were just like everybody else, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so now in chapters 8 and 9, it gives us 10 proofs of Jesus' power and his authority. And keep in mind the context of Jesus as king. He does these miracles to authenticate, listen, what he says. He tells the paralytic, you know, Jesus is speaking in this little house and there's no room. And so their friends, you know, make a hole in the roof and they send him down in front of Jesus. Now, I don't know who paid for that hole in the roof, but I'm sure the house owner wasn't really thrilled. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were standing on the outskirts waiting to get to Jesus, right? And so Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Now, if you know the Old Testament, you'd know that they would rip their clothes, blasphemy. Only God can say your sins are forgiven. And this man claims that he's God. This is one of the reasons why the Jewish people wanted Jesus out. He claimed to be who he is, right? He's God. So here's what he says. Your sins are forgiven. Now, if Jesus would have said, hey, I'm going to the cross, I'm dying for your sins, and I hope to see you in heaven, how would we know if it was true? How would we authenticate that Jesus was the Messiah? How would we know? He's in a grave somewhere. We don't know, right? But he didn't do that. Here's what he said. He said, I'm going to die for your sins, and then I'm going to rise on the third day. And that's exactly what he did. 500 people saw him. It was documented. As you get into the Pauline letters, he says, go ask. Some of these people are still alive. Go talk to them. They saw Jesus alive. And so he didn't die on the cross and say, hey, I hope you make it. He died on the cross. He rose again on the third day as he said he would. And he is seated at the right hand of God. He is our high priest speaking on our behalf. We no longer have to go through a priestly system, a sacrificial system to get to Jesus. He was the perfect prophet. He was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect priest. And now he's seated at the right hand. And this is why we pray in Jesus' name. Because he is the door, he is the way, he is the gate, which gives us access to the Father. Romans 8, outstanding, amazing scripture. That we have peace with our Maker. God is not mad at those who believe in him. He's not mad. He's not mad at you. Did you hear that? You have peace with your Creator. And you have access to his throne by faith through his Son, Jesus. Not only that, there's more. He's given us his Spirit to help us in this walk that we have, to teach us, to convict us, to guide us, to direct us. because we can't do it ourselves, right? He says, I must go to the Father, and if I go to the Father, he will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is the seal, the stamp, and the guarantee that you're a child of God, that you have an inheritance in the kingdom. And his Spirit confirms with our spirit that we're children of God. So you ever feel like you don't know? I don't know. I've sinned. That was like the 99th time I did that. I don't know how God's going to let me in. And if we go to God, God forgive me. He's already forgiven you, but he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cast them as far as to the east is from the west, and to remember them no more. Now notice he doesn't say from the north and the south. There is no east and west pole. There's a north and south pole, right? There's a limit. He says as far as the east is from the west. And that's how much he has forgiven you of your sins. And so Jesus is the king. He has power over sin. Each miracle reveals a different dimension of Jesus' authority, which we're going to talk to. Each miracle points to a deeper truth. And they're arranged topically to make the point. They're not chronological. So we'll pick it up in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. When he had come down from the mountain, he had been up with the disciples talking to them about chapter 5, 6, and 7, about the condition of the believer's heart, 6 and 7, about the condition of the believer's life. He then comes down from the mountain. Great multitudes follow him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Why did Jesus do this? This is a very important part of Scripture when we speak about Jesus' authority. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes had followed him, and behold, a leper had came and worshipped him. Leprosy, in modern day, is called Hansen's disease, the most dreaded disease. Listen, on the outside, it begins with brown, red spots on the face and on the arms and on the thighs. It turns into nodules that break open and blister, running sores, leads to tissue loss and deformation, claw-like hammers and feet. It deforms and disfigures, and eventually resulting in the loss of its extremities or tissues in masses that fall out. That's on the outside. On the inside, the disease attacks your nerve cells, destroying your sense of pain. No longer protected by pain. Now, we think of pain as bad, right? But pain is an alert for us, right? Pain tells us there's something wrong. So you don't have that. You don't know that there's something wrong because the nerves are destroyed. And you slowly destroy yourself. Your flesh begins to decay. Now listen, this is a picture of sin. This is why Jesus is speaking of this particular person first in this topical layout of his power and his authority. Jesus' first miracle is what? He changes water to wine. He speaks of these empty vessels that he fills with water and he transforms them into wine. Wine is a symbol of peace, a symbol of joy during that time. And without him, we're not filled with that joy. A picture of a transformation that happens. Empty vessels, Jesus comes and he fills us with joy. Right? Changes the dynamics of everything. He is the one who can do that, transform and change us. And now he speaks of the sinful nature of man. And this is a picture of sin and what sin does. Let's look at the characteristics of sin. In Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, you don't have to turn there. We're just going to hit some spots. When he was ministering on earth, our Lord helped these leopards Two chapters in Leviticus deal with leprosy as a picture of sin, and they illustrate what Christ has done to cleanse sinners. The characteristics of sin. If people thought they had leprosy, they were required to go to the priest for an examination. And note the characteristics here. Number one, it's deeper than the skin. It's not just on the outside, it's on the inside. And this is a picture of sin. Not just on the outside, but on the inside. Leprosy was not merely a surface corruption, but it was deeper than the skin. How like sin, the problem is not on the surface, deeper than the skin. The problem lies in the sinful nature. And the Bible has nothing good to say about the flesh. It spreads. Number two, it spreads. Leprosy was not isolated, an isolated sore, but it began to spread throughout the body. This is why the church is supposed to be on guard, right? It says not to judge unto condemnation, but it does say if there's someone acting out in a sinful nature, and it particularly speaks about a sexual sin in the church, and they're not repentive, they're to be kicked out of the church. Kicked out of the camp, the Jewish people's camp. Kicked out, and it's a picture of the church because he's talking about this in the New Testament. Why? Because there's an infection that begins to happen. Well, how could that be, Pastor? Well, it's spiritual. It's not just on the outside. It's on the inside. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities in the spiritual realm. As a matter of fact, it says don't even eat with them. Don't sit down at a table and engage in this unity, because eating a meal is unity with someone. And what is the point of that? So that they would recognize, wow, I'm kicked out from the assembly. Now, that's not saying we're sending them to hell, but if they're influencing people in the church and they're not repentive, they need to go outside. And here's a picture of that. Because it spreads. It defiles. Number three, this means, of course, the ceremonial defilement. Lepers were not allowed to participate in the religious services. Anyone who touched a leper was also defiled. And so we're speaking of a defilement, a spreading of this disease. Number four, it isolates. Sin always isolates people. It takes them away from their family, friends, ultimately from the union with God. And when Christ was made sin for us, he cried out to the Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus suffered that separation so that we would not have to. Picture of sin. And number five characteristic of sin, it is destined for fire. This flesh that would fall off of these people, literally, right in front of them, and they wouldn't even feel it, was thrown into the fire. And so we see here, according to Leviticus, they were to alert people that saw them. They were set out from among the camp because of this disease. And they were supposed to alert people so that people wouldn't come near them. So they'd wear torn clothes, is Leviticus 13. Their hair must be unkept. They had to cover their noses so they wouldn't breathe on anyone, crying out, "Unclean, I'm unclean." Now imagine if we had to do that today. Because this is a picture of sin, right? I'm unclean, I'm unclean. They must live alone. And live outside of the camp, outside of society. They were isolated because of this condition. And in Jesus' time, became illegal to even greet, much less than associate with them. If you stuck your head in their home, you were considered defiled. 100 feet away from everyone else. 50 yards upwind from normal people. People would throw stones at them as they approached too close. Josephus says they treated like dead men. Pharisees taught they were afflicted by the hand of God, taught they were being judged by God for their sins. The disease is threefold, and it's the same with sin. Listen, physically, the body is rotting away. We see the conditions of sin in the physical body, don't we? Particularly sexual sin. Socially, they become isolated, separated. life sentence without any bars. And number three, spiritually, a stigma. Luke tells us that this particular man was full of leprosy. In other words, in its advanced stages. Imagine pushing his way to Jesus through the crowd. I need help. Now everyone around him must have been, oh, get away from me, get away from me. And we look at this and say, wow, that's interesting. But if you think about it, that's how dark mankind is in the eyes of God when they're not cleansed by his Spirit. Think about that. And here's what it says, that this man worshipped him. He understood his position before Jesus, but he points to Jesus' deity. 10 times in Matthew refers that Jesus is being worshipped because he is the one to be worshipped. And notice the last time it was that the wise men came and worshipped him. Now it's the leper. Both ends of the spectrum. We all need Jesus for cleansing, right? The wise men and the leper as well. Both ends of the spectrum. Beautiful thing is Jesus will accept anyone who comes to him, even those rejected. Even those rejected him by those around him. And so that's comforting. That's comforting. So here's what our sin looks like. The priest would come in and he would, well, let's talk about the cleansing of it. Let's get to the cleansing part. I'm ahead of myself here. So listen, Jesus puts out his hand. And this is amazing because the religious people thought that it was the hand of God that was judging him. Now there's a story in Luke 13 where there's the rich man and the poor man Lazarus, right? And they both die and they go to this place. And one's across the gulf tormented. But the poor beggar was in Abraham's bosom. And you could just, and Jesus gives this story to them, and you could just see the Pharisees who thought that they were so much higher than everyone else, ripping their clothes. How could it be that this poor beggar is in Abraham's bosom? Blasphemy, pulling their clothes, ripping their clothes. And yet they thought, and their traditions is that if they were rich and wealthy, that they were blessed by God. But if you were a poor beggar, that was a curse from God. And we know now that's not true. That's not true at all. And in the same way, they thought because someone had this disease. Now, could you imagine? It's not your fault. And you have this disease and nobody wants anything to do with you. And they believe that you were so evil because you got this and God's hand was judging you. But what does Jesus do here? He puts out his hand. The actual hand of God is reaching out to heal him. And I hope this is promising to each one of us. And he touched him. Jesus is reversing the curse of leprosy because he would be defiled. And now he's undefiled because of Jesus' hand. Years without anybody touching him. Could you imagine that? And now this Jesus comes and he touches him saying, I am willing. With all my heart, I am willing. What an incredible event that happens in this man's life. Jesus desires all of us to be healed, and eventually we will be totally. You see, when Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again in fulfillment and we became believers and the Spirit of God entered us, the power of sin has left us. Sin has no power over you. In your BC days, your before Christ days, now some of you don't have those. Some of you, I won't name the person, but there's some people just never had that contrast of life. BC days, heathen dog, right? To a transformation where you're saved. And you can look at those two lives and say, wow, they are so different. Just like the leper. In the spiritual realm, dark, filthy. But now in the spiritual realm, as believers, we're cleansed, we're clean, we're white as snow in God's eyes. Because he looks at us through the blood of Jesus, right? So we see that contrast that happens. And how did that happen? Because God is willing. God loves you that much. He cares for you so much. And this is why Romans 8 means so much to me, because growing up as a little boy, I thought God was after me. Because the nuns told me that God sees everything you do, and you can't get away with anything, right? With the finger, they said it. They didn't just say it. They went with the finger. God sees everything you do, and you can't get away with everything. So I always thought God was after me, and I was always hiding my sins from God. And then you read chapter 8, and we have peace with our Maker. We have peace with God. God is not mad at the believer. Do you understand that? There's no more enmity, as we read in Genesis. There's enmity because of sin. But now we have peace with our Maker. We're on His side, and He's on our side. Now, some of us like to have. Some of us think judgment and sin sniffing is a gift. It's not. It's not a gift at all, because we want to look at other people's lives and say, "Oh, they're not right with God." Well, first of all, we don't. We can judge sin in the church based upon what Scripture says. But be careful, because this is what Moses did. Moses was mad at the people of God and says, "God, why did you do this to me? Get rid of these people." And God told him to speak to the rock for water. The first time he told him to strike the rock, and water came out and fed them as they're in the wilderness, right? Water came out. It was a picture of Jesus being struck in on the cross. But now, God tells him to speak to the rock. Because how do we get forgiveness? We just ask, right? Speak, and that living water will flow, right? But Moses was mad at God's people, but God wasn't mad at them. And Moses misrepresented God in the presence of God's people, so he never saw the promised land. Be careful. God is a forgiving God, a God of grace, and a God of mercy. Yes, His judgment is coming down on those who do not believe. Period. Here is a perfect example here in the Scripture, and this is why I believe it's up front in the beginning of the stories. We're not going to get to them all today. But he sees mankind, the religious people who were supposed to be representing God and His Son, they were judging Him. Oh, He has leprosy. Get away. And now it's a picture of sin. So we were sinful. God reached down into the pit of our life and pulled us out. We came out as mud. I was walking on the golf course just last week, walking to the driving range, and I had clubs and things in my hand and a bucket of balls, and I walk, and I just stepped in a hole, and I went all the way up to my knee in this hole. Now, why didn't anybody put a sign there? And I come out, and my shoe is just full of mud to this very day. It's sitting in my – just full of mud. I actually – thank God I didn't hurt myself, but I didn't, right? Just stepped in this mud, and I pull it out. I'm like, oh, look at this. And people are watching. I felt like an idiot. But that's what God did to us. He pulled us out of that pit of sin and filth, and He washed us with His blood, which cleansed us. It cleaned us from our righteousness. And then He clothed us in His righteousness, right? And then He set us on a solid foundation that cannot be shaken. Oh, the winds will blow and the rains will fall, but we cannot be moved, right? On His foundation. And this is what He does. And then He says, I'm going to give you my Spirit, seals us with His Spirit to help us while we're here to do what? To make disciples. That's what we were told to do. Make other followers. This is the way out of here. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to the Father any other way but through Him. And the world may hate you for this. You know, when I became a policeman, I lost half my friends, and when I became a Christian, I lost the other half, right? You stop getting called to the same parties that you used to go to, right? In high school, right? I got hired 2 years out of high school. I was a policeman. You stop getting invited to those parties. Why? Because they're doing illegal things there, and they don't want you around. Then you become a Christian, and they don't want you around even more, right? So there's a whole other group of people that don't want you around because of. But that's okay. And at first, you feel upset, you know, but you realize that God has cleansed us from that environment and set us on a solid foundation. And now He's going to use us. And so the people were judging this person as being unclean in the same way that we would have been judged as unclean, but Jesus is our high priest, is the one who cleansed us, right? Washed us with His blood, filled us with the living water, clothed us in righteousness, set us on a solid foundation. sealed us with his Spirit, no one can take you out of his hand. Right? No one can take you out of his hand. And so those around him, this man, were judging him. And Jesus puts his hand on him and touches him, saying, I am willing. And yet certain afflictions are ordained for a reason or for a season. This man was a leper, which is a picture of sin. Number one, as a testing, a refining of our faith, deeper levels of trust, right? As a testimony to others, God's grace is our weakness, or God's grace in our weakness. And so when we picture our sin, right, there's an affliction that happened because of this sin, and it was for his testing, refining of his faith, and testing the testimony to others about God's grace in our weakness. And then number three, as means of making us desire heaven, to turn to Christ. Who is this man going to turn to? The church? They kicked him out. His friends? They can't have nothing to do with him. He can't go to the priest because the priest would be defiled. The priest couldn't even enter his house. So he was an outcast. Now you can imagine this guy running up to Jesus and everybody just clearing a path. Ah! Get out of the way! And Jesus puts his hand on him. He says, I am willing. Isn't that great? Because we're that leper. We're that leper. Well, Pastor, I wasn't that bad. No. In God's eyes, that's a picture of sin. This is what sin does. And it is. And listen, he had no choice in the matter, neither did we. We were born in our sinful nature. But listen, and the wages of that sinful nature because of Adam was death, but God didn't leave us no out. The remedy is the blood of Jesus. He says, I'm going to come down here. I'm going to pay the penalty so that they could live with me forever. We were to die in our sins, separated from God. Jesus came and paid that penalty, and now we have been cleansed, wiped clean forever, white as snow in the presence of God. Now, we're still living in a fallen world, in a fallen body, and we still sin, right? Well, Paul says, these things that I don't want to do, I keep doing. And the things I want to do, I'm not doing them either. What a wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this body? And then he answers it, thanks be to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So while we're here, we have power over sin, but we still have the presence of sin, right? When we're in heaven, we'll be relieved of the presence of sin. There'll be no sin in heaven. There'll be no tears, no suffering. Are you excited about this? I hope you are, because I certainly am, because I deserve what that leper deserved, separation from God, cast out, right, of the assembly. But Jesus comes and heals us, cleanses us, touches us. And guess what? He's with us all the time through his Spirit. All the time. All the time. Never leaves us nor forsakes us. When things are difficult, he's with us. He doesn't say things are not going to be difficult now. Your life's not going to become great in this world because you got saved. Okay? Sometimes it becomes even more difficult. When I got saved, I went back to the police station, told them I got saved. You think they had a party for me? No, they didn't have a party for me. Things become difficult sometimes, but God gets you through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not saved from the fiery furnace. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, but God, Jesus, jumped right in there with them, didn't he? They looked in and said, there's one like the Son of Man inside that fiery furnace. And he got them through it. And when they came out, they were fine. Jesus is willing. And he sends to this man and to you and I, be cleansed. Be cleansed. As he touched him. Notice the spiritual implication. Once again, leprosy is sin. Jesus is showing the authority over leprosy and the effects of sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus not only healed him there at that time, but forever as well. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Could you imagine seeing this? Threefold restoration: physically restored, healed and healthy. Number two, socially restored. back in the camp. This is very important. When we speak, when we look at Scripture, sometimes we lose its cultural effects. Everything was about the temple and the gathering together. Everything. Now we stay home and do everything on the internet. We're supposed to not forget to come to the assembly as some do, Scripture says, right? But everything was surrounded around the activities of the temple and being apart and to sell and buy things was everything about the temple. And now he's kicked out and got nowhere to go. Could you imagine? Jesus said to him, tell no one. And then he says, the reason, show yourself to the priests. A deeper reason, the testimony to the priests. Who is he talking about? Caiaphas was the priest at the time. And Caiaphas was one of the influential people that had Jesus illegally arrested. And so there's a reason why he says, go to Caiaphas and show him. Go to Caiaphas and show what I have done. And that's our testimony. Go to the people out there and show them what I have done. Our lives, people are supposed to see us and give God glory. In other words, wow, if you could do that with this guy, right? Man, there's got to be God in heaven, right? But not only that, I mean, we say that in a joking way, but if you could do that with this guy, then there's hope for me. Hope for me. And our responsibility, because we're going to get next week into the cleansing of the sinner, how in a little more detail, through Leviticus, but our responsibility is to tell the world about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Things are coming to a close. We're living in a time of grace where God's not counting our sins against us. In the book of Daniel, it says, for the nation of Israel, there's 77s, seven-year periods. Go back and listen to the sermons, calvarypb.com. 77s for the nation of Israel. 69 of them have already passed. The clock stopped after the Messiah was taken out. When Jesus died on the cross, the clock stopped. What does that mean? That means we're living in a time of grace. It's called the church age. And what is happening? God is calling all men to himself. The God of the Old Testament who judged them when they obeyed or when they disobeyed and blessed them when they obeyed is the same God of the New Testament. The difference is he's not counting man's sins against him now, here on earth. Could you imagine if he did? We'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? He's not counting our sins against us now. And when we go before our Heavenly Father, he's going to roll out this big scroll of all the believers' sins, and they're going to be empty. There's nothing on them. They've been washed away. And those who haven't believed will say, I was a good person. I went to church. I did this. I did that. And he's going to say what? I never knew you. But I did all these things. He says, yeah, you know, you were so good on earth. That was great. But it's not about what you did. It's about your list of sins. This is the issue. Sin. Why did Jesus come? Because of sin. Why is there death? Because of sin. Why is there difficulty, disease, and sickness? Because of sin. This is why he came. We forget that so often. Listen, leprosy, like sin, desensitizes us. If you could just imagine 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, the language that was on television then compared to today. Today it's the norm. Back then, you'd go to prison, right? There'd be an uprising. Everybody would get fired on the network. What happened? Well, we've taken the Bible out of the schools, and those who have grown up are now making those decisions, right? And we've become desensitized. This is the norm. Well, you know, they're nice people. Well, that's great, they're nice people, but it's not about being nice. It's about being holy, set apart. It's about being righteous. And Jude says this, speaking particularly about the church. Don't miss this, because it's happening right before our eyes. And people are blind. They don't see it. Jude says, ungodly men have crept in unnoticed. And now they're in leadership positions in the churches, and they're the ones making the decisions. Oh, it's okay to have you know, homosexual relationships. It's okay to have this. It's okay. But what does Scripture say? Jude says these ungodly men have crept in unnoticed. How did they not notice? Because they were more concerned about their talents. Oh, he's a good singer. You know, he's got some issues in life, don't we all? We can't kick everybody out of the church. There'd be nobody left in the church, right? They crept in unnoticed, and they began to change the direction of the church. And this is why we need to walk circumspect and be on guard. I was at a leadership luncheon with Joe and another guy the other day, and we were talking about churches, and I'm like, well, what else do we have to teach other than the Bible? I'm like, what are we going to talk about? I mean, why are we here? To study the Scriptures. What did God say? And not only are we studying them, you're reading along with me, so we're not making this stuff up as we go along, right? What else do we have to teach? What else do we have to hold on to? What anchor does the church have that keeps it in one place? It's the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word will last forever, forever, forever. And so as we close, I just want you to just go back to that BC day of yours when that transition happened. And as Scripture says, remember how much you have fallen. And God has taken you out and forgiven you and healed you. You're not perfect yet. Nobody's perfect yet. We will be when we're with Him. Nobody is sinless but Jesus. Every single person from Adam till the end of time who's lived on this earth except for Jesus was sinless. So don't beat yourself up over your sins. Stop doing it. You have the power through the Spirit. But don't beat yourself up. Oh, God's not going to forgive me. That's a lie because He says He will forgive you. Right? Oh, God's forgotten about me. No, that's a lie too because He says I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hold fast to the promises of God. How do I get to heaven? Those who believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of God, and rose on the third day will be saved, right? Well, I said that, Pastor. Okay, your life should reflect that now, shouldn't it? Your life should begin to reflect your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Your actions should reflect your belief in the things that He says, right? So it's all good. And this morning, as we close, God wants you closer to Him. His promises, if you draw close, you got all the God, Holy Spirit, you're ever going to have. Ephesians 1 says you have all the blessings in the heavenly places in you now. The problem is we keep backing away from God. And His promise is if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. And so we don't need more God. He needs more of us. More surrendered, right? More committed. So I pray you be blessed today. And thank the Lord for cleansing us. Thank you, Father, for cleansing us and washing us clean. Like this leopard, You touched us, and now we are back in right perspective with You, Father. In Your presence, in the assembly, we've been adopted into Your family, and one day You'll call us into the house that You have prepared for us. Help us now, as we leave today, to remember Your promises of Your love, Your grace, Your compassion, Your forgiveness. And have Your will in each one of us, we ask this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.